The E.G. White Appeal in 1901 for the reorganization of the General Conference. The Chair. The conference is now formally opened. What is your pleasure? At this juncture, Sister E.G. White, who was present, came forward and spoke as follows. I feel a special interest in the movements and decisions that shall be made at this conference regarding the things that should have been done years ago, and especially 10 years ago, when we were assembled in conference and the Spirit and power of God came into our meeting, testifying that God was ready to work for this people if they would come into working order. The brethren assented to the light God had given, but there were those connected with our institutions, especially with the Review and Herald Office and the conference, who brought in elements of unbelief, so that the light that was given was not acted upon. It was assented to, but no special change was made to bring about such a condition of things that the power of God could be revealed among His people. The light then given me was that this people should stand higher than any other people on the face of the whole earth, that they should be a loyal people, a people who would rightly represent truth. The sanctifying power of the truth revealed in their lives was to distinguish them from the world. They were to stand in moral dignity, having such a close connection with heaven that the Lord God of Israel could give them a place in the earth. Year after year, the same acknowledgement was made, but the principle which exalt a people were not woven into the work. God gave them clear light as to what they should do and what they should not do, but they departed from that light, and it is a marvel to me that we stand in as much prosperity as we do today. It is because of the great mercy of our God, not because of our righteousness, but that His name should not be dishonored in the world. In the 31st chapter of Exodus, God says, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. It is not for men in any part of the world, in any line of His work, to depart from God's principles in any business transaction. God wants the world to see that business can be carried on in accordance with the principles that mark the character of God in Christ. What are God's commandments? They are the wall which is built round His people. There is to be no departure from His principles, no bringing in of worldly policy principles. No worldly customs or practices are to be brought in for this people who are to be representatives of Christ to follow. When we keep the commandments of God, we are in touch with God, and He is connected with us. We read in the first chapter of 1 Peter, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. To gain this inheritance, you must be incorruptible and undefiled. You are not to be perverted in any way from the straight lines which God has laid down, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are living in the last time. We are standing, as it were, on the very borders of the final conflict. wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Think of this, brethren, consider it. There are thoughtful men here, and they need to think.
Whom, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is the standard that God wants us to reach. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of God which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Every soul in every conference, in every part of the Lord's vineyard, has the privilege of knowing the truth. But truth is not truth to those who do not practice it. Truth is only truth to you when you live it in the daily life, showing the world what those people must be who are at last saved. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Why, I ask you, are men who have not brought self into subjection allowed to stand in important positions of truth and handle sacred things? They have grown to the stature of men, but they have brought with them their childish tendencies. God does not want any such thing. He has made provision for all to have in them the grace of Christ. No others will enter heaven. There has been one rebellion there, and there will not be another. We have been given an opportunity to get rid of every kind of rebellion. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. When you leave this meeting and go to your homes, be quick to hear and slow to speak. Keep yourselves under subjection to the Spirit of God. At the last conference which I attended here, there was gossiping and controversy in every house. If the people had prayed instead of gossiping, if they had talked with God, the condition of things would have been very different. Many of you have been educating yourselves to talk with human beings instead of talking with God. You have built up barriers against the principles which should have been carried into every part of the Lord's vineyard. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. It only takes a word to fire up a man who has not made a practice of talking with God. This spirit is as contagious as the leprosy. One and another catch it, and thus dissension and strife and commotion are brought in. God is not in any of this work. Brethren, before we have finished, we shall know whether or not God is handling this conference. As he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who, without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You may be exalted to heaven as far as position is concerned, but position does not make the man. Do you obey the commandments of God? Are you one with God?
Are you sanctified by the Spirit of God? Those who fill positions in the conference must have the righteousness of Christ. This gives a man a power in his work. And if ye call on the Father, who, without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Do not exalt self. Christ has said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. If you depart from the principles that are to live through the eternal ages, and bring common things into God's service, he will scatter your work to the four winds. Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. There are those here that have traditions, and they stand just as the Pharisees stood. Notwithstanding, they may say that unity and love, compassion and tenderness are correct principles. Yet in their own line of practice, they cling to the old traditions. You are to stand by the old traditions, they say. But what we want is God's traditions. We want to have the living principles of heaven brought into our lives.
You are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish and without spot. And what were you redeemed from? Let me read it again. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, it means everything whether you are bound up with God by the truth or whether you are not. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Think of this, being born again. You see, if we do these things, we are born of the Spirit. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We want you to do all these things. Here are men, sober and right-minded men, who are occupying influential positions on committees and are handling sacred things, things connected with the service of God. These individuals have been called to bear responsibilities, to carry an influence in the work of God, and the work has been increasing and ought to increase to fourfold of what it is. Some of those engaged in the work have their intelligence sanctified, and others are unsanctified. But everything will be revealed, for by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, whatever the work done by men in responsible positions, its character will be testified to by its fruits. In the office of publication, the light that God has given me for years is that those in positions of responsibility there are to gather in the youth to talk to them, to train them for the Lord's service. Do not indulge a spirit of combativeness. Keep the unsanctified tongues under control. Do not blame and censure. Act just as you would want the overseers to act toward you were you in the position of these young people. God wants every individual in his service to represent him. The men who have woven their own human passions into life and character, who have nurtured self all the way along, are not to think that they are qualified to deal with human mind. God wants every person to begin at home and there live the Christ life. In the church and in every business transaction, a man will be just what he is in his home.
If he submits to the Holy Spirit's guidance in the home, if he understands his responsibility to deal with minds there, then when in responsible positions, he will pursue the same course. Remembering the tenderness of Christ toward him, he will manifest the same love and tenderness toward others. All who are educated in the office of publication should see there exemplified the principles of heaven. I would rather lay a child of mine in his grave than have him go there to see these principles mangled and perverted. The principles of heaven are to be carried out in every family, in the discipline of every church, in every establishment, in every institution, in every school, and in everything that shall be managed. You have no right to manage unless you manage in God's order. Are you under the control of God? Do you see your responsibility to Him? If you do realize this responsibility, you will realize that you are to mold and fashion minds after the divine similitude. And then those in the different institutions here, who are being trained and educated to become workers, will work for God, to hold up the standard of righteousness. Oh, my very soul is drawn out in these things. Men who have not learned to submit themselves to the control and discipline of God are not competent to train the youth to deal with human minds. It is just as much an impossibility for them to do this work as would be for them to make a world. That these men should stand in a sacred place to be as the voice of God to the people, as we once believed the General Conference to be, that is past. What we want now is a reorganization. We want to begin at the foundation and to build upon a different principle. The institution under the management of Dr. Kellogg has done a great work for the education of the youth. It has sent forth more workers in the cause in medical missionary gospel lines than any other agency I know of among our people throughout the world. And I ask, how have you treated the matter? Have you felt that you were to honor God by respecting and honoring the work that has been done in His name for the upbuilding of His cause?
The principles of health reform have been proclaimed by us as a people for 30 years. And yet, there are among us ministers of the gospel and members of the church who have no respect for the light that God has given upon health reform. They eat as they please and work as they please. God calls for a straight testimony to be given to those who claim to believe that we are living in the last days of this earth's history. A line of distinction must be drawn between those who serve God and those who serve Him not. God calls upon His people to put away self-pleasing. When in body, soul, and spirit, they will dedicate themselves to God, His power will be revealed in a remarkable manner. Here are men who are standing at the head of our various institutions of the educational interests and of the conferences in different localities and in different states. All these are to stand as representative men, to have a voice in molding and fashioning the plans that shall be carried out. There are to be more than one or two or three men to consider the whole vast field. The work is great, and there is no one human mind that can plan for the work which needs to be done. There are those who always take negative position. This counts nothing toward building up the work. What has been done here in Michigan? What has been done in America in the fields that have needed laborers and efficient helpers? I ask you, what field where the people have never heard the truth has been searched out and worked? Who has been preparing men to take hold of the field? And yet upon us rests the responsibility of fulfilling Christ's command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. After Christ's baptism, He preached the gospel to the cities that were round about. He was working and healing. The medical missionary work was bound up with the preaching of the gospel. I am so thankful for the medical missionary work carried in gospel lines. It is to be taught. It is to be carried forward. For it is the very work that Christ did when on this earth. He was the greatest missionary the world ever saw. You may say, why not then take hold of the work and heal the sick as Christ did? I answer, you are not ready.
Some have believed. Some have been healed. But there are many who make themselves sick by intemperate eating or by indulging in other wrong habits. When they get sick, shall we pray for them to be raised up, that they may carry on the very same work again? There must be a reformation throughout our ranks. The people must reach a higher standard before we can expect the power of God to be manifested in a marked manner for the healing of the sick. We talk of the Holy Ghost. We preach of the Holy Ghost. But we need to understand better what the office of the Holy Ghost is. We need to understand that we must cooperate with God in every sense, or God cannot cooperate with us. We are laborers together with God. According to the light that has been given me, and just how it is to be accomplished, I cannot say. Greater strength must be brought into the managing force of the conference. But this will not be done by entrusting responsibilities to men who have had light poured upon them year after year for the last 10 or 15 years, and yet have not heeded the light that God has given them. The Word of God is to be our guide. Have you given heed to the Word? The testimonies are not by any means to take the place of the Word. They are to bring you to that neglected Word, that you may eat the words of Christ, that you may feed upon them, that by living faith you may be built up from that upon which you feed. If you live in obedience to Christ and His Word, you are eating the leaves of the tree of life, which are for the healing of the nations. Here are the very words that we want to bring into our life practice. The men that have long stood in positions of trust while disregarding the light that God has given are not to be depended upon. God wants them to be removed. He wants a new life element brought into the publishing institutions. There are those who have stood as managers and yet have not managed after God's order. Some have served on committees here and committees there, and have felt free to dictate just what the committee should say and do, claiming that those who did not carry out these ideas were sinning against Christ. When the power of God is manifest in the church and in the management of the various departments of His work, when it is evident that the managers are themselves controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, then it is time to consider that you are safe in accepting what they may say under God. But you must know that you are guided by the principles of the Word of the living God. The great general of armies, the captain of the Lord's host, is our leader.
The children of Israel thought that if they should have a king and be like the other nations, they would be a wonderful people. God directed His servant Samuel to tell them what would be the result if their desire were granted. He told them what kings would do. Nevertheless, they said, "We will have a king to reign over us." They had a king, and to their sorrow they learned of how little avail was an earthly ruler when God went not forth with their armies. Now, I want to say, God has not put any kingly power in our ranks to control this or that branch of the work. The work has been greatly restricted by the efforts to control it in every line. Here is a vineyard, presenting its barren places that have received no labor. And if one should start out to till these places in the name of the Lord, unless he should get the permission of the men in a little circle of authority, he would receive no help. But God means that His workers shall have help. If 100 should start out on a mission to these destitute fields, crying unto God, He would open the way before them. Let me tell you, if your heart is in the work and you have faith in God, you need not depend upon the sanction of any minister or any people. If you go right to work in the name of the Lord, in a humble way, doing what you can to teach the truth, God will vindicate you. If the work had not been so restricted by an impediment here and an impediment there, and on the other side an impediment, it would have gone forward in its majesty. It would have gone in weakness at first, but the God of heaven lives. The great overseer lives. the one who knew where Cornelius lived, and who appeared to him as an angel, and declared to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. And now do you send men for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, who lives with one Simon, a tanner?" And he told him the very place where Simon the tanner lived. Then the angel of the Lord went to Peter and prepared his mind for the reception of the men. Our God knew about the Ethiopian who was in his chariot studying the prophecy of Isaiah concerning Christ, and he sent Philip to meet that Ethiopian, and the Ethiopian asked him to come and sit in his chariot. And there Philip proclaimed the truth to him more fully. And he said, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And he was led down and baptized, because he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord enters into every house, into every office, into every room where his work is done. Angels of God are passing and repassing through these offices, and there is a record kept of everything that is done in these places. By this record, the workers are to be judged. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Every word and action. God is watching, and everyone will be rewarded according as his works have been. The time has come when this people are to be born again. Those that have never been born again, and those that have forgotten that they were purged from their old sins and cannot see afar off, and have practiced their old habits of talking, prejudicing others, hindering the work, and being generally in the way of its advancement, would better be converted. God wants you to be converted, and may he help that this work may go forward. He is a power for his people when they come into order. There must be a renovation, a reorganization. A power and strength must be brought into the committees that are necessary. Let every one of you go home, not to chat, 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 but to pray. Go home and pray. Talk with God. Go home and plead with God to mold and fashion you after the divine similitude. Let us right here at this meeting see that the converting power of God is essential. If we will take hold of the Master, take hold of all the power he has given us, the salvation of God will be revealed. Let me tell you that the sick will be healed when you have faith to come to God in the right way. We thank God that we have the medical missionary work. Wherever we carry the gospel, we can teach the people how to take care of themselves. This is our pioneer work. The medical missionary work gives us access to places where otherwise we could not enter, where the people would not give us a hearing. We have been in the field. We have been over the ground. We know what this means. There are places in the South to be worked. God will help us all to act our part, if we will only have the spirit of self-denial and self-sacrifice. In the name of the Lord, we call for men to build up and strengthen this work. But they themselves need to be built up in the most holy faith, that they may work in the different conferences, that there may be a healthy, holy influence circulating through each conference, and that there shall be a supply in any case where God calls for men to enter missionary fields. There is a great work to be, and my heart is panting and longing for the salvation of souls.
God wants us to love one another. He says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This is the new commandment." It was new because Christ had not, before it was spoken, given the evidence of how much he loves us. "As I have loved you." That makes it a new commandment.
He wants you to consider his love, manifested in dying for our sinful race, and consider what you can do in order to extend the knowledge of that love. Every believer in the truth has a relation to another soul, and that soul to still another. And through these lines of influence, we may extend the blessings of God's grace. Thus, we may diffuse heaven's atmosphere in place of the malarious atmosphere which has surrounded so many souls, and by means of which God's work has been hindered and his name dishonored. Brethren, remember that you are dealing with sacred things. Again, I urge you to go home and pray. I have many things as they were written out in my diary 10 years ago. I shall have these things copied that I may read them to you. I shall read you what God expects of his people who believe the grandest truth ever given to our world. We have a whole treasure house of truth, and if you will become familiar with the truth while here, you can bring from the treasure house things new and old, and you will be able to help the people wherever you may go. In this city, there are many in the school, many in the publishing house, and many training for the medical missionary work. And on every hand, there is work to be done. There is work in the regions right around us, and a wide field for work in the regions beyond. God, help us to stand prepared for the battle, having on the whole armor and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That is what you need. Be at peace among yourselves. When you do that, you are educating character. You are forming character for the future, immortal life. I want to have a home with the blessed, and I want you to have a home there. I want to work in harmony with you, and want that everyone who has an impetuous temper that will flare up and lead him to act like a frantic man, I want him, as he begins to speak in this way, to remember Christ, and sit right down and hold his peace. Say not a word. God, help us to restrain our tongue. The voice is a precious talent, and it to be used to a purpose. It is not lent to you that you may swear, but every one who gives way to an unholy temper might just as well swear. God, help us to submit to Jesus Christ and to have his power right here and now. These are certainly very plain words that we have listened to, and it seems to me they come in very timely, right in the commencement of our conference. We notice the burden of the testimony was reorganization. This must first begin with us as individuals, and I trust that it may begin in each heart. I, for one, want to accept the testimony that has been born, and I want that work of reorganization and regeneration to be not only begun, but completed in my life. I am glad that these words were spoken right now at the very commencement of our general conference. I take it that the reorganization means a change in our method of procedure in the general conference. And now, as we are just ready to organize the delegation that has been called, it seems to me it is an opportune time to begin the work of reorganization. I am sure we all want the Lord to lead in this conference, and if there is any method that we have been working along that has bound familiar spirit of the Lord, and surely, if I can understand the meaning of what has been said, we have been bound about by regulations and restrictions. Now is the time to break loose from these things and to make a new start. So again, I ask, what is the pleasure of the conference at this time? A number of the brethren who have been in the city met yesterday in an informal way to consider the matters that have been placed before us today. Sister White was present and spoke very plainly to us. The members of the General Conference Committee, the Foreign Mission Board, the different institutions, and President of Conferences were present at the meeting. We received substantially the same instruction that has been given us today. We all feel that our only safety lies in obedience, in following our great leader,
we feel that we should begin at the very beginning of this work at this meeting, and just as nearly as we know how, build on his foundation.
After the instruction had been given to us, the matter was considered, and it was thought by many present that a change of conference management should be introduced at the beginning of the conference. I may say that I was acting as chairman of the meeting, and so, in behalf of the meeting, I am presenting the conclusions that we reached. In behalf of the meeting that I have referred to, I wish to introduce the following motion. I move that the usual rules and precedents for arranging and transacting of the business of the conference be suspended, and that a general committee be hereby appointed to consist of the following persons: the presidents and secretaries of the General Conference, of the General Conference Association, of the European and Australasian Union Conferences, of the Review and Herald, Pacific Press, and Echo Publishing Companies, of the Foreign Mission Board, Medical Missionary and Benevolent Association, of Battle Creek, Healdsburg, and Union Colleges, and the following named persons: Loughborough Haskell Jones Prescott, and such other persons as may be necessary to represent the important enterprises and interests connected with the work of the Seventh-day Adventists throughout the world. The same to be named by the committee when organized, and this committee to constitute a general or central committee, which shall do such work as necessarily must be done in forwarding the work of the conference and preparing the business to bring before the delegates. In the instruction given us this morning, committees were referred to, and we were told that these should be constructed of men who represent the varied interests throughout the great wide world, that they should come together and carefully counsel regarding the matters to come before the conference, and the methods of work that are to be carried forward. The committee named here aims to embrace these organizations and institutions and fields in all parts of the world. I sincerely trust that God will give us wisdom and understanding and light from heaven to carry forward this work. I know that victory is for us, and I believe that God has begun to work out that victory. And if we will throw away our preconceived opinions and will step out boldly to follow the light that He gives us, whether we can see clear through to the end or not, if we walk in the light we have, go just as far as we can today, God will give us further light. He will bring us out of bondage into glorious liberty. He will not lead us into confusion, brethren. He will lead us into order, and the right kind of order, order that He Himself establishes, and order that will in no way circumscribe or hinder His work, but will carry it forward with power and great rapidity. Now, our people all over the world have their eyes turned to this occasion today. Hundreds of prayers are going up in behalf of this meeting. They have been ascending, and God has begun to answer already. And brethren, let not one of us stand in the way of God's working out a complete deliverance and bringing entire victory. Oh, I am so glad we have a definite, certain voice to speak to us. And I am so glad that all through this meeting we can receive instruction and help. It seems to me that now is the time, brethren, to take hold of this matter of reorganization and throw aside precedents, tradition, and everything that has so bound us, so we may get hold of the right thing. May God help us for His own name's sake. Haskell, it is evident that we have reached a crisis in the history of our work. We have looked forward for the loud cry of the loud cry. We have looked forward to a time when we should see accomplished in present truth what we have never seen accomplished yet. From what has been said this morning, and from the light that has come to us on this occasion, it is evident that that time has come in the history of the Lord's work, if we follow His own providences.
I am in harmony with the motion which has been made, and the remarks made by Brother Daniels, and I would therefore second this motion. The motion being reread, opportunity was given for remarks.
Would not this proposal constitute a committee, the majority of whom would be the same persons that we now have in office? If it would, I cannot see that this particular combination would remove the difficulty. This naming of the committee was not before our meeting yesterday. The principle before the meeting, and if I understand correctly, the principle adopted or recommended by the informal meeting, was that some provision be made by the conference for pointing out the principle. I do not wish to confuse the House by introducing another motion, but I would like to ask whether it would be proper that the 8 districts composing this conference should, by their delegates present, each suggest 1 person, making a committee of 8 persons, who should recommend this larger committee suggested in this recommendation. It is true that persons who are named for this committee are holding offices on different boards in different parts of the world, but it also provides that others shall be called in to join these brethren in their work. If I understand correctly, one leading feature of the instruction given us is the change of methods, the change of manner of doing, the way of preparing our business, the way of dealing with things, and not that men altogether are to be swept away. It is not a condemnation of men as men, but of methods and principles which must be swept away. My thought is this. This disposes of the old method of appointing committees and managing business. It brings together in one body a much larger representation, and these men are to counsel together regarding the interests of the work in all parts of the world and concerning every phase of the work. They can call in others, men representing the Southern field and other institutions, as they see fit. Men who have not held any position whatever in official capacity. Let it be a representative body to confer together regarding the work. It seems to me that we are not called upon to sweep away every man who has held a position during the last 2 years, but we are to sweep away every wrong principle under which we have been working. If these men come together, not in an official capacity, but as counselors to confer together regarding their work, they will move out on new lines as the Lord may lead them. Is this a permanent committee, or simply for the conference now assembled? For the conference, I understand. The information that Brother Daniels has given, and that comes in reference to the matter, satisfies me, and I am willing to withdraw the suggestion that I made. The information that I thought all of us wanted has been given by the chairman, and I am willing to withdraw any objections that I had. Without making any strictures upon the motion or saying anything regarding the propriety of it or the membership of it seems to me that we are in great danger of going over the same road in a different rut. It is true that we have got to start. I read in the text that has come very forcibly to me, "Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation," Isaiah 33, verse 6. It does not seem to me possible that in a moment this work that has been set before us can be done, that reorganization can be effected instantly. We cannot, any of us, say that we will throw away old methods, old principles, and then, without any further instruction, without any further study, without any further knowledge, go on and do differently, because by our very education we shall go on in the very same way. We must know what we are doing. This may be right, but if there ever was a time when we could do that thing which has sometimes been presented, now is the time to begin, and that is to know every step of the way, to be sure we are right. I believe that that is a possible thing. I wonder if everybody here who shall hold up his hand will know of a surety that this is just the thing to do. I am sure in our business, just as well as in our preaching of the gospel, it is our privilege to know, when we take a step, that that is the right thing to be done. If we do not know,
then there is a place for us to seek wisdom. The Lord has said that he will guide us with his eye. He says, "My servant shall deal prudently, and those who yield themselves to him to obey him are his servants." Therefore, when we yield ourselves to him, and then seek wisdom from him, he has promised to give it in every detail. And then we shall know equity and every right way.
It does seem to me that after what we have heard yesterday and today, before we can be fitted to enter into anything like routine business, there should be a seeking of the Lord, a praying to the Lord, to know what is the right thing to be done. I do not believe that we shall lose any time. I believe we shall gain time throughout this conference, as we have seen in conferences in the past, if, when we have come up to a critical time, instead of spending time in feeling our way, guessing our way, and someone throwing in a suggestion, and another one throwing in an ill-advised suggestion, we should stop and pray. If we would do that, the Lord would give us light in some way. It might be the Lord would throw in light through some particular soul, and then that soul would present it, and then we would say it is the truth. We say we should have a representative body. But the representative body is here. I cannot say that that thing would be done if we would begin straightway. I cannot say that it would not. For my part, I do not know. But here is the representative body. Why should this representative body, the first thing, centralize and put the business into the hands of some committee to prepare and execute instead of doing the thing for which it was sent here to do? Whether this thing be right or wrong, we want to know. I would so rejoice if this might be a conference, the beginning of a new era, which shall be in every conference that shall be held, that we shall know that God is with us, and we shall know the truth. He says we shall. If we follow his word and continue in it, we shall know the truth and know the way we are going, for we have not been in this way hitherto. When God led his people out of Egypt in a way in which they had not hitherto been, he went before them and indicated just what they should do. I believe God will do that for us if we seek him. But I most earnestly wish that there might be a spirit of resting in God, a spirit of letting God rule. In quietness and in confidence shall be our strength. I do not believe we shall lose time if we go slow enough so that every step that we take will be certain and sure, instead of doing a great deal of business and having to undo 3/4 of it afterward. Mrs. E. G. White, I want to speak a word now, as I have spoken before. I want everyone to be careful how he throws in a block. Not now. Wait, 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 wait. We want to know what the right thing is and move right away. We ask you to pray to God, and we ask you to take your stand, that God can come into this meeting, and that you can come right to the point. W. C. White. I do not understand. Dr. Wagoner's proposition was that we should long delay, but that we should ask wisdom of God now, so that we might know that we have his guidance and approval in taking so important a step. He is willing to give us wisdom, and he desires to give us oneness of heart. May we not, brethren, bow in prayer and ask his counsel before voting on so important a question. Let us unite in prayer. A season of prayer followed, in which Elders W. C. White Haskell Olson and Dr. Wagoner and Professor Prescott united. The question is before you. What is your pleasure? I wish to know if this committee is to take the place of the General Conference Committee. I do not so understand it. I understand that this is a committee to make a program for the General Conference, and it will bring forward business for the conference from day to day.
Do I correctly understand the motion? Mr. Chairman, my thought is that this committee is to be a committee of counsel to continue through the conference, to take into consideration all branches of the work, all features of the work, and all matters of business that come before the conference are to be brought forward by this committee. And if there is anything they do not bring forward before the conference, the delegates have the privilege of bringing it forward. It is not a committee that is to continue of this conference. Mr. Chairman, am I to understand that this committee will suggest the appointing of a committee that will simply take the place of the General Conference Committee during the General Conference? That will be left to the committee, and when they get together with representatives from other fields to consider the business, they will decide just how the matter shall be brought before the conference, as far as they are concerned. They may appoint committees to do it. The question was called for. The question is called for. Is there anyone who wishes to speak upon this question further?
Haskell, it seems to me that we need something of this kind. You know that in our general conferences before, every measure has been left to a committee and then brought before the conference. It has not been a representative committee of the different institutions. And that is one point in particular concerning which the voice of God has spoken this morning. A representative committee can appoint as many committees as they please, but they are the working committee for the conference only, so that, in that sense, it relieves the conference of the care and burden of recommending plans to bring matters before the conference. It does not cut off anybody, but simply unifies the whole work and brings matters before the brethren to act on when they have some point to present. The question was called for and was carried unanimously. Upon motion of Thompson, the conference was adjourned until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Irwin, Chairman. Hoops, Secretary. General Conference Bulletin, April 3rd, 1901.